normally when I speak on the second Sunday, I've been going, trying to do a through the Bible. And we were supposed to start with 1 Corinthians chapter 1, but it's really been on my heart, obviously, the events of the last week and the recurring acts of terror and things like that that take place, as well as natural disasters and how people are affected. And we're going to talk about the man-caused stuff more today. When I was a kid growing up in the Chicago area, there was a radio station, a couple of them, but one in particular that I used to listen to at night, and they played old-time radio shows. And they would play comedy. You know, they'd do Abbott and Costello and Fibber McGee and Molly and Baby Snooks and Daddy and the Bickersons and that, and which is, you people probably have no idea who I'm talking about. But then they would play drama. They would do suspense, you know, like Arch Obler's Lights Out, everyone. The Inner Sanctum, these shows that were kind of scary when you're a young kid. You hear these old radio shows that came out from the 1930s all the way on up through the 60s. And one of them that I like to listen to, and it's so cool these days because on your little device you can download OTR. You can download old-time radio apps, and you can listen to a lot of these shows for free. They've got the dates that they first broadcast and who was in it and the link to the Wikipedia page where you could find out all this information. But one of the shows that I really love to listen to always started out with this eerie organ. This eerie organ that would, you know, because that's what they used. And it sounded, you know, kind of horrific, just horrific and eerie. The minor chords. Suspense. And a man would come up with a very rough and gravelly kind of voice, and he would say, "Who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? The shadow knows." And he would, every time the show would start. And so I was thinking about that, you know, that who knows what evil lurks in the hearts of men? It's not the shadow. It's God Almighty. And there are a great many things. I'm going to read this to you. Last week's horrific mass shooting in Las Vegas is another senseless act of violence witnessed by the world in the last several years. Shootings, bombings, knife and machete attacks, vehicular manslaughter brought upon a crowd of people. It's not the how that we're going to look at today. It's not the specific why of each incident, although religious beliefs or some level of mental disorder can be blamed as the cause. We're going to look at the general root cause of them all, and that is evil. The heart is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? In Jeremiah. That's in Jeremiah 17, 9 through 10. The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, even to give to each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. Since the garden, since the fall, there's been this inherent evil within us because the Spirit of God was taken away. When Adam and Eve were made, remember, God breathed into Adam. He put the Holy Spirit inside, and Adam was a spiritual being with a fleshly body. But after the fall, God took that out. And he was just a man of flesh. And so our heart has become blackened and dirty and evil. And it's only because of the grace of God that we don't fully act out some of the things that we may have thought, you know, like, "Oh, I'd like to get that sucker," you know. "I could use that. I think I'll take it." You know, all the seven deadly sins that each one of us have committed from one time to another. And if you say you haven't, you're mistaken. But there's been a lot of evil and depravity that's been responsible for so many reprehensible things on the earth, great atrocities. And it's because of the evil, the depravity of man's heart. So the heart is deceitful. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5. And I love this song by Rich Mullins, and I've brought it up before. There's bound to come some trouble to your life, but that's nothing to be afraid of. There's going to be trouble. Jesus said the trouble will come. But here, Paul is telling Timothy that he shouldn't be surprised. He says, realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come. For men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers or partiers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, and without self-control. They will be brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. He says, realize this. Don't be surprised. In these last times, there's going to be some stuff. There's going to be bad people in the world doing bad things. There's going to be bad people in the church doing bad things. Because the Lord cleans his fish after he catches them. He gets in us and he begins to change us. And as we pour out ourselves, whatever that may be, in our brokenness, he can pour himself into us. Like Paul said, I must decrease and he must increase. People will be disobedient, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, without self-control, brutal and treacherous. Boy, we saw that. We saw that worked out last Sunday night. Treachery, evil, murder. Why? Evil. An evil heart. In Mark chapter 13, Jesus was there talking to his disciples. And they had asked him a question about the end times. They said, as he was sitting on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, and John, and Andrew were questioning him privately. How would you like to do that? You can. We can question him. We're on a quest. We're on a search. We're on a journey. We're on a quest to find truth, to find answers, to sit at the feet of Jesus and talk to him about ourselves, about others, about things that trouble us, things that bless us. They question him privately. Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign when all these things are going to be fulfilled? Talking about the end times. And Jesus began to say to them, see to it that no one misleads you. Many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and will mislead many. When you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be frightened. Those things must take place. But that is not yet the end. For nation will rise up against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be earthquakes in various places. There will also be famines. These things are merely the beginning of birth pangs. But be on your guard, for they will deliver you to the courts. And you will be flogged in the synagogues, and you will stand before governors and kings for my sake. And then he goes on down to let's see. It says, brother will betray brother to death, and a father his child, and children will rise up against parents and have them put to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. Now I'm going to take some liberty here, because Jesus is talking about the wars and rumors of wars, saying that nation will rise up against nation, and kingdom will rise up against kingdom. I don't think it's much of a stretch. We're going to look at what James had to say, the brother of Jesus, James, in a minute. But there will be wars and rumors of wars. Nation will rise up against nation, kingdom against kingdom. Let's look at James right now. James chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Is it not the source of your pleasure that wage war in your members. You lust and do not have, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. We don't sit at the feet of Jesus and question him privately. We lust, so we murder. Because of the sin nature. When you are, James also said earlier in chapter 1, he said, when you are tempted, don't say God is tempting me with evil. Because each one of us is dragged away by our own evil desires and enticed. It's that rat or that mouse looking at the cheese in the trap who says, I'm hungry. I covet that cheese. I desire that cheese. I want that cheese. Remember, Jesus was there on the mountain, and the Lord, Satan said, turn these stones into bread. He was tempted with material, something that he wanted, something that he needed. He needed nourishment. He had been fasting for 40 days and nights. So that little mouse or that little rat sees the cheese and he's hungry. He's being tempted. But if he goes for it, what happens? So we are dragged away by our own evil desires and enticed. And it says that the sin eventually, like it says in Romans, the wages of sin is death. So we die, just like Adam in the garden when they ate of that tree. Their relationship with God was broken. So there's a lot of warring taking place in our culture, in our society. People fighting over statues and flags. Do we kneel? Do we stand? Do we put our fist in the air? People grandstanding. You hear all sides, from Hollywood entertainment to different politicians to regular everyday people, offering opinions about what do we do about this? What can we say? How can we put an end to this? We need to get rid of everything here, or don't tread on my rights. You and I are kingdom people. Yeah, we obey the law, and it doesn't matter what they say in Washington, D.C., or in Richmond, or in York County, or Newport News. As far as laws go, we obey the law, and that's it. That's what Paul said in Romans. We don't have to fight about it, because we're kingdom people. And his law, the law of the kingdom, is love. And I saw that love demonstrated greatly. I mean, if you turned on the TV at all or watched video online, and then along with that comes all of the speculation about the why. Why did this guy do this? Why did this happen? Well, it happened. Pure evil. I heard someone say that the man, he was a madman, and the talking head interjected and said, oh, no, let's not do that. Let's not say he was a madman. Okay. You're going to defend this guy. Wow. You know, okay, yeah, go ahead and defend him if you think you can. In Romans chapter 1, professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Therefore God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural, and in the same way also, the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent and arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil. I think of the Marquis de Sade right there, the inventors of evil, disobedience to parents, or Dr. quote-unquote Joseph Mengele, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. The guy had no mercy whatsoever. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. Now, in our culture here in the United States, people say that America is a Christian nation, founded on Christian principles. There is some element of truth about the Christian principles and some of those things that were there. People coming over here to practice religion and have religious freedom. But there's more to it. Over the course of time, spiritism began to take rise. There were pockets of great awakenings, and I think of Azusa, in 1908, and then the 1948 revival that was in Europe and then here. There were pockets of moves of God taking place. But amongst the greater population, people began to stop going to church, started to believe less in a creator and more in the science of evolution. I'm not going to get into that because I know what I believe and I don't want to have any contention. But they exchanged the truth of God for a lie and began to worship the creature rather than the creator. Back in the 1960s, there was a woman by the name of Madeline Murray O'Hare. Prior to that, I can't remember what the case was, but it was the one that got prayer out of public schools. No more praying in public schools. It's surprising you could even stand and say the Pledge of Allegiance back then, but still it was more of a quote-unquote patriotism, you know, people being born of the parents who had served during World War II, you know, who were affected. But prior to 1962, prayer was allowed in public schools. And then Madeline Murray O'Hare, an atheist who started the American Atheists or Atheists of America, a failed attorney. She studied to practice law and failed the bar exam and various things about the woman. I used to know a heck of a lot more about her, but she took it all the way to the Supreme Court to get Bible reading out of schools. And I believe that's part of the time when, I mean, I've written about from the Industrial Revolution all the way on up to Dr. Spock, not Mr. Spock, Dr. Spock, and, you know, the parenting and the education and just letting kids do what kids do without disciplining them. But we've heard the phrase of kicking God out of schools, not even in so much as a historical, you know, looking at it historically or looking at it as literature, not even allowing it to be used. Whereas I would think, okay, why can't we at least read the Psalms when we're looking at poetry in an English class? There should be no problem with that. But she fought and she won in prayer, and then subsequently Bible reading in school was made illegal. Couldn't do it. Then, was it 1971, Roe v. Wade, when abortion was finally made legal according to the U.S. Supreme Court? there is no longer a sanctity of life. People don't care. And when we are taught that we come from apes, that there's been this evolution, that there is no God, that don't read the Bible. There is no God. If you believe in a God, then you believe in a sky fairy, a flying spaghetti monster, a celestial teapot. You believe in these things, and you cannot. The atheist would say, it's not upon me to disprove God. It's upon you to prove he exists. The burden of proof is on you. Because I can say there is this teapot floating between the Earth and Mars, and you can't see it, but you have to prove that it doesn't exist. That's what it is. You have to prove it doesn't exist. Okay, I can't. You can't see it, but I know it's there. Okay, whatever. We have faith. Remember, I've talked about that place where logic and reason fails. How do we explain love? You know, how do we explain that? Well, you put these little devices on someone's head, and then you ask them questions, and you show them pictures, and oh, how do you really explain it? How do we get there? There's so many things that are inexplicable. So that place where faith and logic and reason fail us, we come to faith. Yeah, I wrote here, Roe v. Wade and the legalization of abortion for any and all reasons is in many respects on par with the human sacrifices of ancient times, infanticide and passing children through the fire. That's in the Bible, you know, from people who worship the god of Molech, who burned their kids. It wasn't just merely it was sacrifice. You know, look at evidence from, you know, down in Mexico, it was the Aztecs. Human sacrifice. When Pharaoh called for the kids, for the baby boys to be put to death. When Herod did the same thing and called for all the male infants of Israel, 2 years and younger, to be put to death. There's no sanctity of human life. They didn't care. So how do we respond to this sort of thing? You know, we could lay in bed at night and go, how could somebody do this? You know, I can see my friends, people that I had spent years with, our former pastor who became a firefighter, you know, and one of the guys that used to be on the worship team and did sound for us, and he would say whether it smelled good or not, if worship smelled good, you know, yeah, man, it smelled good today. He's a firefighter. And you see these people and what they have seen and what they experienced, in my heart, just I pray for them. There was this argument going on Twitter, and then you know again then on Facebook and Instagram. If you see it, people are saying, "What good are thoughts and prayers? Stop sending thoughts and prayers and do something that's material. Do something that actually means something." You know, if that's all we can do is pray for someone, that's pretty big. That's pretty damn big, praying for someone. I'm blessed to know that people are praying for me all the time. I'll get a message on Facebook. I'll get a text. I'll get something that says someone's thinking about me and praying for me. And I've shared this before, but I see different objects, you know, as I go throughout my day, and it causes me to think of people. And Bradley and Hope aren't here today, but the dystomia, the Yeah, I can't remember how to say dystautonomia. Their symbol, you know, some people have pink for like breast cancer awareness, and then there's purple for this and blue for that. And well, there's a zebra stripe. And I'll tell you what, I have seen so many things that are zebra striped that it's blowing my mind. I mean, you've seen pictures of me on Facebook, you know, wearing all the zebra stuff and back in the olden days. But we were up at Black Mountain in the hardware store, and I couldn't get it, but there was a little key, a house key, that has zebra pattern on it. I saw a tote bag, an umbrella, shoes, scarves. I was looking on Pinterest. I follow this, you know, rock bands and that sort of thing, and I saw a picture of the guys getting off a plane, the guys from Led Zeppelin. And there's Robert Plant wearing, it's a black and white photo, but he's wearing this long coat that looks to be made of leather with this big fur neck, you know, going down. It's like, yeah, that's really rock and roll from the 70s. But it had these little patches of zebra stripe. So I'm like seeing it everywhere. And when I do, that's a trigger. That's a, I don't know what else to call it, but it, catalyst it, to pray for her and to pray for Bradley. There's time, you know, I see things or I hear something, and it just causes me to remember a person, and I pray for them. I drive past this place a lot, and I pray for people, and I remember people. Every time I'm in this building, I think of Larry. Every single time I'm in this building, I think of you. When I go up and down the stairs, when I turn on the lights, when I see the building lit up, I think about you, and I pray for you. So thoughts and prayers are a good thing. And if that's all you can do, then that's what you do. The last verse, how do we respond? A favorite verse of many, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Don't try to figure this crap out on your own. Don't sit back and try to think. Don't sit back there and why, how. We'll go nuts. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. We just got to worry about number one here. Well, we're number two. He's number one. But you understand what I mean. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. You know, a lot of times we hear of things and we see things, and it's like, oh, death penalty. You know, or I'd do this, or I'd have done that. And, you know, I saw some people posting things about what they would have done had they been there with a firearm. Where are all the good guys with a gun to stop this thing? And it's like, if you look, you know, right, you look at where the distance from where the shooter was to where the people were, and if all you have is this piddly little pistol, you know, you're not going to hit anything. And even if you're down below, how are you going to fire up 32 floors and hit anything? You know, I would think that would come down and maybe hurt somebody else, you know, because isn't that gravity? What goes up must come down. So, yeah, people just talking, you know, after the fact, being armchair heroes, armchair Rambos, I guess, you know, and then mixing up terminology and confusing this and that and calling this by one name and they don't know. It's shut up. Just shut up. You know, the talking heads on TV that are saying, just shut up. Yeah, I can't tell you how many times I was yelling at the TV and starting to write a tweet to somebody and going, nah, I can't do that. I'm not going to get involved in this garbage. So fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Okay, so we don't try to figure this stuff out. And what I always say, I think I've said it every time I've spoken here, is love God, love your neighbor, love your enemy. That's it. That's the law of the kingdom of God. That's it. Love God, love your neighbor, love your enemy. And then what's required of us? One of those other favorite verses from Micah 6:8. Do what's right. Do what's right. We know right from wrong. Is it right to climb up in a building with all the weapons and shoot people? No, that's not right. Don't do it. Do what's right. Love mercy. Remember that list from Romans? People are unmerciful. We're to love mercy and then walk humbly with God, knowing that everything that we have, everything that every time we take a breath, it comes from Him. Father, I thank You that we can find peace and comfort and security in You, that we don't have to try to understand. We don't have to lean on our own understanding, but we can come to You. We can be like Peter and John and Andrew. We can sit at Your feet and we can ask You questions. We can gain wisdom from You. We can gain healing for our bones from You. We see the things that take place in the world today, and it seems like it's getting more and more frequent, from the natural disasters to the people driving vehicles into crowds or people going into concerts. And this is the third time. Heart is deceitful, who can know it? There's great evil that lurks within the hearts of man. It is only through You, through Your love, and through Your mercy that we can see change. Lord, help us to be the light in the world, to be the light within the darkness, to be the impetus of change. And if all we can do is think about people and pray for them, if that's all we can do, that's all we can do. But sometimes that's more than giving. If we're able to go and help, we go and help. When this area was hit with a hurricane, people helping neighbors move trees and cut down trees and move trash and rebuild. We do what we can, Lord. We give what we can as we can. Holy Spirit, have Your way in our hearts. Help us to think on You in all of our ways, acknowledge You, that You would make our path straight. Help us to be more and more a people who love You, a people who love our neighbor, and a people who would even go so far as to love our enemies. To see them in that cliche, to see them the way that You see them, without hate or anger in our hearts. It takes a lot. Help us to do what is right. Help us to show mercy to everyone. And help us to remain humble as we walk with You. We give You praise once again this morning, Lord. We give You praise. So without our brother Horace here, I'm kind of stuck. We have, if you filled out a prayer request, were there prayer requests this morning? So would you like to please handle that thing for me? Yeah.